Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, let's grab our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. And my special Mother's Day message today is titled Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. There's a new film coming out. Of course, there was a TV series on before, but a new movie called that. But I want to talk about the real Wonder Woman, the woman of Proverbs chapter 31. I heard about a group of second graders who were asked what they thought about their mom. They were asked these questions. First, they were asked, why did God make mothers? One of the kids answered, to help us out of there when we were getting born. Yeah, that's pretty true. What ingredients are mothers made of? One little boy said, God made mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world with one dab of mean. I like that. Yeah. A little girl was asked, what kind of little girl do you think your mother was? And she said, I don't know because I wasn't there. I love the way kids answer questions. But my guess is she would have been pretty bossy, though they said she used to be nice. I don't know how our mom reacted to that. One little boy was asked, why did your mom marry your dad? He said, well, she got too old to do anything else with him. Another was asked, who is the boss at your house? The child answered, mom is. She doesn't want to be, but she has to be because dad is such a goofball. That makes sense. I like this one. What would it take to make your mom perfect? The little child answered, well, on the outside, she already is perfect, but on the inside, some kind of plastic surgery. It's kind of scary. Don't think they fully understand, but. And what's the difference between moms and dads? I like this answer. What's the difference between moms and dads? A little second grader answered, moms work at work and work at home, and dads only work at work. Right? That sounds true, doesn't it? And finally, if you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? And one little child answered, I would like her to get rid of those invisible eyes on the back of her head. That's true. Well, that's what kids think about their moms. Let's talk a little bit about what God thinks of mothers. We're looking at Proverbs 31, which is a description of what the Bible calls a virtuous woman. In fact, we have a women's ministry here directed by my wife, Kathy, called Virtue. Why do we call it that? Because it's based really on the Proverbs 31 woman. Have you ever had someone say, you know, she's a Proverbs 31 woman? You've wondered, well, what does that even mean? We're going to find out together because this girl that's being described is really the real Wonder Woman. And by the way, this is the longest description of any family member in the Bible. That should tell us a lot how important a mother is to God. Now, some of you are already tuning me out. Some of the guys are saying, well, obviously, I'm not going to relate to a Mother's Day message. And some of you ladies who aren't married yet are thinking, well, this doesn't apply to me. And some of you young men are saying, there's nothing in this for me. Actually, there's something for everyone, so I want you all to pay attention. Another thing I would mention is this chapter is an acrostic. It's an acrostic, meaning each verse begins with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Basically, it goes with one end of the Hebrew, goes from one end of the Hebrew alphabet to the other. So it was a way for young people to learn the alphabet going through Proverbs 31. But what we're given here is an A to Z look at what a Wonder Woman is like, a woman of virtue. By the way, it was written by King Lemuel, who was a smart guy because he listened to his mother. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 31. It says, the sayings of King Lemuel contain this message which his mother taught him. Now, we don't know a lot about this king. We just know that he had a good Jewish mother. And in addition to feeding him chicken soup, she gave him some great wisdom, which he wrote down. And I would say without any doubt, my wife, Kathy, fits this description of the woman of virtue, as do the other two girls we're going to be talking to in a few moments, because my message is a little shorter today. That's my Mother's Day gift to you. And then we're going to hear from two generations of women, my wife Kathy, and two young ladies, including Tiffany Velasquez, who is the director of the women's ministry here under my wife, Kathy, and also our daughter-in-law, Brittany, who is married to our son, Jonathan. So we're going to kind of deal with some of those challenges you moms are facing. But let's see what a Wonder Woman looks like, a woman of virtue. Go to Proverbs 31, start in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So if you're taking notes, here's point number one. The Proverbs 31 Wonder Woman is priceless and quite rare. She's priceless and quite rare. You know, we live in a time where worth, especially for a woman, is determined by outward appearance. The more beautiful she is, the more valuable she is in the estimation of modern culture. The less beautiful or the older she is, the less valuable she is. And that is the exact opposite of the way God sees things. Because in Proverbs 31, we have a woman here of character and integrity. In fact, pretty girls are a dime a dozen. But a woman of virtue and honor and character is priceless. Notice that the author does not say, who can buy an excellent wife? Because this kind of woman is not for sale. Rather, he says, who can find a virtuous wife? Now, a word to you single guys. This is the kind of girl you need to be looking for. The girl of your dreams. Oh, I want her to be blonde or brunette or tall or short. Forget all that. Start with Proverbs 31. And look for a woman that fits this category, or at least is seeking to live this way. This is your standard. Because listen, guys, the most important decisions of your life, two of them, number one, the Lord you serve and the lady you marry. The Lord you serve and the lady you marry. The first decision will determine heaven or hell in the afterlife. And the second decision will determine if you'll have heaven or hell in this life. And you single girls, this is the girl you want to be. Forget your magazines and their articles and their emphasis. They're so out of sync with what the Word of God says. Forget what you see on television and in commercials. And look at what the Bible says, because this is God's plan and it's better than any other plan. This is the perfect balance of beauty and brains, of spirituality and a real person. The girl who lives this way is going to be a happy girl because she is a godly girl. Point number two, the Proverbs 31 girl, the Wonder Woman, if you will, is trustworthy. Look at verse 11. Her husband can trust her. She'll greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Trust is so important in a marriage. So is communication. You know, a survey was done among divorced people, and they were asked why they thought their marriage failed. The number one reason given, deficient communication, 86%. A breakdown in communication, you need to be honest with your mate. You need to tell them the truth. Also, you need to honor your vows. You know, on your wedding day, when you made that pledge to your husband or wife-to-be, you need to honor it and live by it. And when there's a breach there, it causes great damage. It's not irreparable. It can be forgiven, but it is very harmful. You don't want that to happen. If you're a trustworthy wife, you have such great value. Number three, the Proverbs 31 woman, the Wonder Woman, loves her husband. Look at verse 12. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She is his greatest cheerleader. She doesn't tear him down in public. She encourages him. Don't ever tell an embarrassing story about your husband in front of friends. Well, this guy I'm married to, he's such a loser. No, don't do that. And to the point, don't do that about your wife either. You build them up in public. And if you have something critical to say to them, and you will, say it privately. But you're there to support them, to love them. And it's interesting because the Bible tells us that husbands should love their wives and wives should respect their husbands specifically. That's not to say that A wife should not love her husband. Nor is it to say that a husband should not respect his wife. But it is to say the Bible specifically says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loves the church. And then it says, wives, see that she respects her husband. You need to let your husband know you value him and you appreciate what he does for you. So the Wonder Woman, the Proverbs 31 girl, loves her husband. Number four, this woman of Proverbs 31 loves her family. Look at verse 13. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household. Did you do that today, girls? Before dawn, oh my. And plan the day's work with her servant girls. So wool would speak of clothing for the winter. Flax would be clothing for the summer. In this day, they wouldn't buy clothes like we would buy them today. But I think the emphasis here is not that you have to now, you know, start making all the clothes for your family. Though you can do that, and some do that very well. But rather, the word busily is mentioned. She busily does this, and it's a word that speaks of a delightful willingness. She does it with delightful willingness. She enjoys this calling that God has given to her. She's also a shrewd investor. Look at verse 16. She goes to inspect a field and buys it with her earnings. This lady's an entrepreneur, a businesswoman. By the way, did you know that in 90% of American homes, women control the purse strings? And I think it's good when a woman controls purse strings because a guy doesn't really want to carry a purse. By the way, this is a constant frustration for men because, you know, we have a lot of junk we have to carry too. And they make these little man bags. I don't know, you call them a merce. You call it whatever you want. It's a purse, and it'll be under 1 minute before another guy mocks you, right? So you just shove it into a wallet that's the size of a softball into your back pocket and have things. But, you know, the woman controls the purse strings in most homes. Listen to this. 80% of women, wives, make the healthcare decisions in the home. 75% do the household shopping. 68% make the new car purchases. Sounds like the guys are getting in there with a say-so. And the other percentage is when the wife says to the husband, "You bought what?" I threw that one in because that's got to be true, right? Okay, number five, the Proverb 31 girl, our Wonder Woman, is wise. Look at verse 26. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. The words of a mother, they're so powerful, and they'll stay with the child throughout their life. I watch my wife, how she spoke to our sons and taught them the word of God and helped them with everything from manners to politeness to being tidy and so forth. And there's a lot of things our mothers have taught us. If you look back over your life, you think, well, you know, our mothers taught us about anticipation, right? They taught us about anticipation when they said to us, "You just wait until your father gets home." Our mothers also taught us about genetics when they said, "You're just like your father." They also taught us about justice when they said, "One day you're going to have kids and I hope they turn out just like you." Then you'll see what it's like. But there's something about the bond of a child with the mother that's so special. You know, when a child falls, who do they cry out for? Mommy, not daddy, generally. Now, if mom's not around, dad's a distant second, but they really want mom. Maybe when that receiver scores a touchdown, he turns to the camera and says, "Love you, mom," right? Even on the battlefield, stories have been told when young men were dying, they were calling out to their mothers. That is why we thank God for mothers and we bless them. Look at verse 28. Her children stand and bless her and her husband praises her. Listen, you need to just let your mother know today that she is appreciated. Yes, a gift is fine. A card is good, especially if you write something in the card. But she needs to know that you love her. And you've noticed all the things that she's done. I read a survey that was conducted by the Wakefield Group, and it revealed that an astounding 85% of new millennium moms would like to receive acknowledgement from family and friends that they're doing a good job rather than flowers. So the best thing you could just say to your mother or your wife who is a mom, You're doing a great job. And I noticed you did this the other day. Hey, if you throw some flowers on top of that, it's even better, right? I think of the way my boys have expressed their love to their mom over the years. A number of years ago, we said to both of our sons, you know, don't get us gifts for Christmas or our birthdays or Mother's Day or Father's Day. We don't want gifts. We want a card from you, and most importantly, we want you to write something in it. And do you know that we have saved every one of those cards? We have them in a box, every one. They're like, if my house was on fire, the first thing I'd grab was my wife. I'd grab my wife, get her out. But while I was grabbing her, I'd have that box in the other, you know, the other hand for sure. I hope I wouldn't be running like that because that looked kind of weird. But hey, the house is on fire. What do you want, right? But here's a card my son Christopher wrote to Kathy. This probably would have been 11 years ago. He's been in heaven now for 9 years. He says, "Dear Mom, you've always helped me and encouraged me more than you know. I know that I always tell you how much I love you and how beautiful you are, but I want you to know how beautiful I think you are on the inside. When I'm out and about and I give advice or I think of how you would act, I think about what you would say. I try to treat people like you do and relate to others in a godly, compassionate way. Thank you for loving me unconditionally all my life and raising me to walk in God's plan and Jesus' forgiveness. Have a wonderful day. It's yours. Love, Christopher." Our son Jonathan wrote a card for his mom that he gave to her yesterday. It says, "Happy Mother's Day. I love you, Mom. Thank you for the many ways you bless and continue to bless me and my family as well as those around you. You have impacted many, but none as deep as Christopher and me, your two loving sons. The way you have run your race and lived your life has been with great character and endurance. I pray I continue after your example as well. Love you always, Jonathan." See, that's a tribute. That's a tribute to a mother who's done her job and is doing her job. Verse 28, her children stand and bless her. Verse 28 says, her husband praises her. Husbands, when's the last time you praised your wife in front of your kids? Hey, in front of complete strangers, let me tell you about my wife. My wife is so awesome because, and that goes a long way. It's hard for guys because girls are far more verbal than men are. You know, I remember when Dr. Dobson came here, he said that when we're born, shortly after birth, men's brains are flooded with testosterone and it causes damage to the brain. But at a certain point, the brain of a girl is flooded with estrogen. And so their brains work differently than our brains do. In other words, we're brain damaged, guys. Okay. So girls have this way of communicating and knowing what to say, and we're just clueless. And so we have to just say to ourselves, say this to your wife now. Verbally say, I love you, I appreciate you, thank you for all that you do. It's a very important thing. Number six, the Proverbs 31 girl, the Wonder Woman, is beautiful inside and out. Inside and out. I love how Christopher talked about my wife's inner beauty as well as her outer beauty. Verse 30, charm is deceptive, beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. In other words, tell people about it. So basically, the mother of the king is saying, son, listen to me. I'm your mother. I know what I'm talking about. Look for a godly girl. Don't look for a girl who majors on externals and neglects who she is on the inside. Look for that balanced woman. I heard a story about a guy who saw a girl he thought he was in love with, and he took her home to meet his parents. His mother didn't like her. So he brought home another girl to meet his mother. She didn't like her either. So this time he found a girl that looked like his mother, dressed like his mother, and talked like his mother, brought her home, but then the father didn't like her. See some? Anyway. So the king's mother is saying, don't end up with a girl who only cares about her appearance, because those who consume themselves with outward appearance alone waste their lives. Why? Because beauty fades. You know, gravity kicks in. We get older and you can do all the stretching you want and all the injections you want and all the whatever. And I'm not critical of any of that. Hey, whatever you want to do, but just remember, you're going to get older. But if you're walking with God, you're going to become more beautiful because it will be an inner beauty along with an outer beauty that makes you the most beautiful of all to men. Trust me on this. So the time to start is now, when you're young. You know, you say, well, I have my beauty, great, you know, but there's a lot more to life than that. So look, work on being a godly woman. Be the best version of you that you can be. Okay, so here's what we're going to do now. Now we're going to talk to two generations of girls. And I would say every one of these girls that we'll be at in a moment are godly girls. They're Proverbs 31 girls. They're wonder women. They won't have capes, I don't think. I'm here with three beautiful women to talk about mother. So let's welcome them. This is my wife, Kathy Laurie. We've been married for 42 years. And this is my daughter-in-law, Brittany Laurie. And she's been married to Jonathan for
7 years.
7 years. And finally, this is my third daughter. No, she's not my daughter. I've known her since she's been a little girl, Tiffany Velasquez, and she's been married to Gabe for 5 years, did you say?
5 years.
You're wonderful moms. You really are. All of you are. And I know your kids love you, and I know you love your kids. But I mentioned that stat a few moments ago, that 85% of new millennial moms, and Brittany and Tiffany would be millennial moms. We're long beyond that.
Millennial, I don't know. That was before they named generations.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, we were the baby boomers.
Yeah, we
that's
were.
That's right. We were.
Yes. And so, but the millennial moms, 85%, said they'd like to receive acknowledgement from family and friends that they're just doing a good job rather than flowers. Well, I'm going to give you encouragement and a flower. There's a flower
you.
For you. Here's a flower for you.
Thank you.
Here's a flower
Very
for you.
Very nice. Thank
yeah,
you.
I think the high school group is selling these flowers afterwards if you want to buy one from your mom. But is that true, though, you guys, Tiffany and Brittany? Do you feel like you're kind of not acknowledged enough or don't receive that encouragement? What do you think?
I think that hearing that you are doing a good job or that your husband and kids are thankful for just all the little things that you do, it is so important, and it does make, you know, such a big difference.
Yeah.
My littlest guy, Christopher, he's just the sweetest with words. So he's always giving me like little compliments just out of the blue.
Yeah.
And it honestly, like, it brightens up your day and gives a little pep in your step. And you're like, okay, like, I can do this.
Yeah. So I What did think he say to you recently? Didn't he say something about your outfit?
I put on a dress and he's like, Mom, you look so cute in that dress.
And how old is he?
Thanks. He's 4.
4 years old. He's a smart boy, I'll tell you what.
Do you know who the prettiest girl in the world is? You are, Mom.
Wow.
And you just smell so good.
Was he working you for something?
I don't know. No. He's kind of got it
down.
Probably
didn't matter at that point.
So. No, he knows. He's got me wrapped around his finger. But it's so sweet. It's so sweet to hear that from your kids, and it's really meaningful to hear that from your husband, too.
What do we need to know, Tiffany, as guys, you know, husbands and fathers, about mothers? Like, what are we missing? What is something that would really go a long way if we did more?
How long do you have?
Yeah. True.
No.
We need to do more of this and less of that. Jump in, Kathy. Or Tiffany. Go ahead. Tiffany, go ahead. Then Kathy, please.
Well, I have a really encouraging husband who is, you know, he does encourage us, encourage me in this job as I'm being a mom. But I think what sometimes goes without kind of being acknowledged, sometimes we seem like as moms, we maybe make a big deal out of things that maybe were dramatic or, you know, about different things, but overreacting seemingly, but probably really are. We've been dreaming about being moms, a lot of us, since we were little. We are, you know, from the womb carrying little, you know, babies.
That's
basically
true.
So it's such an important role for us.
I carried a doll as a boy. Was
so
that
does
weird?
Milo.
No, I didn't.
So this role as being a mom is so important to us. We, you know, it's even the little things are we take so seriously, you know.
What about someone, Kathy?
I think what you were talking about, you know, how we feel as women, I think there was a time maybe when the role of mother was more celebrated, mm. or, I mean, really, they used to teach in school home economics.
Yeah,
do you remember those days?
Yeah.
We taught to cook and to sew. Probably be a good idea to teach that to girls and boys now.
No,
it was part of the cutbacks. Budget cuts. But anyway, the value of a mother, I mean, you even think of the old TV shows, June Cleaver and yeah. Leave It to Beaver, and different shows where the role of a mother was really... Yeah. You know, pronounced. And
she always had this string of pearls on. And
but there was a little pressure even then yeah. on moms
but
to
mom
look like.
But mom was wise, and dad was wise.
And there was a value to what they were yeah. doing. But I think for us, when, you know, we were just doing the small things around the house, repetitive things. How many times do I have to pick up these socks and clean the bathroom mirrors and do those things, yeah. you know? And you do them without so much as a word of thanks. The family doesn't even notice them. For
Thank
the most
you.
Part.
Thank
I know.
You.
I'm waiting for the toilet seat to come down.
Well, that's not going to happen. Okay.
I know. After 42 years, it
I
isn't
try.
Going to happen.
I try,
I've given
I forget.
Up. I have given up. That's okay. But here's huh? where I go. Here. Oh, dear me.
Is this also humiliate Greg Day?
No.
Because I missed that.
No, actually... Greg is very appreciative and often out of the blue will tell me things and say nice things to me. But
See?
But here's the key, really, on the days where you don't get it, and yeah. there are, I mean, you can't have someone constantly telling yeah. you, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you do so many things, but the Lord is who you're doing these things
yeah.
for.
That's a very important
You know, it's
point.
A form of worship to Him. You know, whatsoever things you do it with all your heart
yeah.
as unto the Lord and not unto men. And then also, I just remember the little plaque, which we actually had printed up on some tea towels that are for sale in the bookstore, if you can find them, that say on them what Ruth Graham
had. Let me just jump in. There's a little section in our bookstore.
In
it says
Riverside.
Harvest Riverside. Mm-hmm. We'll
yep.
have it in Orange County soon, but it says Virtue.
Yeah.
And that's the women's ministry. And yeah. by the way, the women, you're done with your Bible study for
yes.
now, but you're going to crank it back up. When does it start
September.
Up again? I'll tell you ladies, if you're not involved mm-hmm. in this Virtue women's ministry, you've got to get into it because it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But continue on. It's really
no,
good.
No, I was just going to say what's on that tea towel.
Yeah, say
it. Which we saw for the first time over Ruth Graham's sink.
Greg doesn't put the toilet seat
no.
down. Does it say that? No.
No, it actually says divine service rendered here three times a day.
Right.
Which is, you know, those little things, just even doing the dishes, if you do them as unto the Lord, not unto your kids or unto your husband. Right. You may or may not get thanks from them, but if you remember that yeah. what you're doing is significant, it's all those little things done faithfully over a long period of time that begin to show the results. You know, you will see the Lord repay
yeah.
you, and one day in heaven, for sure.
That's right. Tiffany, you know, when Kathy and I were raising our boys, especially Christopher, many years ago, the closest thing to a tweet was a bird in the backyard, right? So there was no social media, no Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter. And nowadays, it almost seems like a lot of girls maybe be under are maybe under pressure to be the perfect mom and the perfect everything, and the outfit's always just right, and the pose is just right. Is there extra pressure on mothers today with all the social media and sense of expectation?
Yeah, I think so, totally. I don't want to negate the fact at all that through every generation of motherhood, there have been, you know, struggles and challenges. But this generation, it's different. We are involved in this kind of Instagram happy, Pinterest perfect world where we're so aware of what's going on in everyone else's life, probably a little too aware, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, was thinking, I look at all these Instagram posts and I follow some mom bloggers for what I think is inspiration. And then I go to, you know, look at my photo reel on my phone and real life sets in, you know,
yeah.
stains all over the shirt, messy house. And that's okay because that's real life. And that's probably what 100% of us is, you know, it's really going on behind the scenes. But I think it's important not to compare or try to meet the standards that our society is setting on us, because God has given us His standards and He's given us this biblical blue book, these plans for us in His Word. And He tells us how to be a mom, like you shared with all of us just a few moments ago. And that's where we find it. You know, we find our appreciation from the Lord, and we find our script from the Lord too as moms.
Let's kind of pull the camera back. That's great. Let's pull the camera back, Kathy, and And take the bigger, look at the bigger picture, because, you're a mother of two sons and a grandmother of five grandchildren. And as you look back on your early years, where these guys are at now, these girls, we call them guys, right, girls. But what is the main objective of a mother? Like, what's her end game? What is she really trying to accomplish when it's all said and done? And a grandmother.
Well, the interesting thing is that you may think, this being Mother's Day, you're going to hear me say that as a mother, the end game is to love your children. And to love them best. Yeah. But I'm not going to say that. The end game, ladies, if you are given the privilege of being a mother, is to love Jesus first. Mm-hmm. And you love Jesus first. Yep, that's right. By loving your children and leading them to Jesus. That is the end game. It's really easy. And I know that even as a grandmother, the Pinterest perfect world is not reality. You have to keep telling yourself that. What you see posted on Instagram is not reality. That is a fabricated, filtered version of reality. And for us, we want to realize that it's not to raise that scholar necessarily, or that superstar athlete, or that most perfectly dressed and well-mannered and behaved child. Our goal is to teach our children by modeling to them and by speaking as you walk along the way, as you sit down, as you rise up, and all those little things that you do that don't seem significant, bedtime stories and hugs and reminders and corrections, that those are the ways in which we are going to lead our children to Jesus. And that is the end game, is not to make motherhood an idol in our lives, where we can have these little children or big children that we parade out and brag about, but it is to raise souls, eternal souls destined for the kingdom. And we need to keep that in mind, that, if the socks don't match or the shoe got lost or the child goes prodigal, that the end game is to pray and to do our best as mothers to lead them to Jesus.
That's right. When you fly, they'll go through their little ritual of things you're supposed to do. And among other things, they'll say, should there be a loss of cabin pressure, the little oxygen mask will come out. And I find it interesting, they say, if you're traveling with a child, put the mask on yourself first and then the child. That almost seems counterintuitive, like, no, the child first. But I think the reason they want the adult to do it is you can't help the child if you yourself don't have oxygen, so you have to get it on. Now you can help the child. And I think that's true in life. We're talking about helping our children, raising our children. But we have to start with ourselves, and we have to know Jesus, don't we, Tiffany? There's someone listening. Let's broaden this now beyond girls and talk to guys, everybody, all ages. Why should a person want Jesus Christ in their life? What is the reason for that, and why is that so important?
That's so good. As you were talking, I was thinking, we can't pour out what we don't already have inside of us, And for me, Jesus, my salvation, that's everything to me. My whole life revolves around that single decision to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Not only through that decision are we promised eternity in heaven, we're also promised abundant life here, and we're also promised grace for our sin when we miss the mark. We're promised all of those things. So for me, as a mom, as a wife, as a woman, as a friend, all of those things revolve around Christ and my salvation in my life.
I was thinking about how Paul wrote to Timothy. He talked about the faith of his grandmother and mother. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about your clan, if you will, the Junker clan. There's so many of them are involved in our church. There's your grandfather and your grandmother, of course, your mom and your dad. And just such a wonderful, committed family. How old were you when you became a Christian, Tiffany?
I accepted the Lord here in the children's ministry at age 5. And then rededicated my life to the Lord in high school at a high school camp.
Have you ever sinned? Because you don't seem like a person who's ever sinned to me.
Yes, daily.
Wow, I didn't know it was that bad. My goodness. That's shocking, Tiffany. Brittany, Tiffany's told us why we should accept Jesus. How do you accept Jesus? Like, she did it when she was 5 years old, but then made a recommitment to Christ when she was high school age. Is that pretty much your story? Did you do it as a young girl? You were raised in a Christian home by your mom, but then you made a recommitment too. Tell us what happened to you.
Yeah, so I was raised as a Christian or in a Christian home, and I did become a Christian at a young age, but I stopped walking with the Lord, and I actually had my daughter, Riley. Yeah. So I had her, and after she was born, I rededicated my life to the Lord right. when I was probably like early 20s.
So you were a single mom for how many years?
Almost 5 years.
That's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Because
there's some single moms here listening, and we're saying the father this, the dad that, but yeah, some of them don't have the support of a father.
Yeah.
What would you say to them today?
Yeah, being a single mom, I mean, being a mom is challenging at times. So being a single mom is kind of double that because, I mean, however you found yourself in that situation, it's, you know, it's not ideal. But I think what I realized with Riley raising her, I just came to the point where it's like, I didn't know, you know, if I was going to get married or if Riley was going to have a dad in her life. So just coming to the place where I wanted to give her the best life that I possibly could and just realizing that the only way I was going to be able to do that was just if my relationship with the Lord was strong, that I was relying on Him and finding, you know, my security in Him and that relationship and just being able, to pour out whatever I had on her. And, you know, it wasn't until I actually did take that seriously and start making the steps that I needed to make wise choices and started going to Bible study and home Bible study. And that's, you know, that's where I found Jonathan and God. Really,
and you knew him when you were in high school.
Yeah. So we met when we were like 12.
Right.
In junior high.
I remember Brittany when I saw it.
And Kathy drove us to like Disneyland when we were 12.
Wow.
But, so, you know, and God, you know, blessed me more than I could have ever imagined. But, and he rightly does have a dad now and it's great, but I think just really having that strong relationship with the Lord really is what made the difference in my life and in Riley's
life. That's beautiful.
I think on a day like Mother's Day, it's a wonderful,
That's right.
I love her so much. She's been a gift, and I was texting your mom this morning, and I said, thank you for being, and her mom was the godly mother, and she raised a daughter to follow the Lord, and now she is part of our family, and we're so grateful for that.
Yes.
But as I look out on, you know, the faces in this crowd, and I'm just imagining all the different scenarios and all the different people that might be represented here, there's a lot of women that would like to be mothers that aren't mothers, that are just praying one day to be married or praying one day to have a child. And this is a hard day. There's also moms out there who have children like we do, children who are in heaven. And this is a hard day for us as well. There are a lot of moms out there with prodigal children that will not hear from them on Mother's Day. Thank you for all that you did for me, for all your prayers. Those are scenarios that, you know, are represented because we live in a fallen world and we are fallen people and we're all sinners. And even the best mother better not make motherhood her salvation. Because only Jesus can save us, and only Jesus is the one who can redeem. That's right. There is hope. God would want us on Mother's Day to recognize that the curse has been broken, the curse that came upon the first family, and that Christ has borne the curse for us, and that no matter what situation you find yourself in today, whether you are, I named a few. There are mothers out there with little ones who have severe disabilities, and their role is mothering and diapering maybe for the entire life of that child, that grown child. There's a lot of women out there and families out there, and none of us is perfect, and none of that brokenness is what God intended. But like I said, Jesus bore the curse for us on the cross, and his word to us today is do not despair. Whatever situation you're in, do not despair. And your mom may be a prodigal. Your child may be a prodigal. The story's not over. There's always hope. Christ is the reason that we can have that hope. And he made us for himself. And all of our role in this life is to know him and to glorify him. And if you're blessed to be a mom today, to take that role seriously and don't make that mothering your be-all and end-all. Make Jesus your be-all and end-all. That's the most important Amen. Thing.
So, Tiffany, there's some folks here, moms, dads, single people, just people that need Jesus, and they don't know how to take that step of praying and asking Christ in their life. Would you lead them in a prayer that they could pray where they're asking the Lord to forgive them of their sin? Maybe they're someone who's never asked Christ into their life, and maybe there's someone kind of like you and Brittany that are making a recommitment later in life. Because, you know, recommitments are important, and sometimes those need to be made. And so maybe, why don't you just lead us in a prayer? So if any of you listening or watching right now want Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and you want to know that your life is right with God, you pray this prayer that Tiffany is going to lead you in, and you'll be glad that you did, Tiffany.
Dear Jesus, I recognize that I have a need for you, that you are my Savior. I ask you to be my Savior, to forgive me of my sins, and to give me the strength to live my life for you. Be my Lord, be my Savior, and be my friend, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for this body that's sitting out here now. I pray that you would meet them exactly where they are today. We've covered so much ground and still so much yet that we haven't. So meet them, Lord, exactly where they are. Reveal yourself to them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tiffany. Let's thank these ladies for coming out. God bless you.